know, my next guest was told to sit down and sit up straight and get in line and, you know, follow the rules. And, you know, he just didn't seem to think that would fit for him very well. He had a lot of questions. He has a lot of questions every single day. And he demands answers. And thank God he does. Tom Fitton is the president of Judicial Watch. And without his questions and Freedom of Information Act requests and so forth, we'd be in the dark about a whole host of things. Tom, welcome back to the program.
Hey, good to be with you again. Thank you.
Good to have you here. Let's start with the importance of the vacancy on the United States Supreme Court. Obviously, the courts have been become the last line of defense for this country in many regards. The president has filled over 200 federal seats on the benches. How important is this, and what do you think should happen?
Well, it's important. It's a lifetime appointment on the most important bench in the country, the Supreme Court. It's absurd to suggest that the president and the Senate, both of whom are controlled by the same party, would jointly decline to fill the seat. They're going to fill the seat, and they should. They should do it before the election. And it's going to result in a firmer, longer-lasting conservative majority on the court. Right now, on most issues, it's 5-4. Not every issue, because Chief Justice Roberts doesn't vote the right way all the time, and some other judges sometimes go the wrong way. But we could have a permanent, practically speaking, for the next several years, 5-4 majority or 6-3 majority on key issues.
I'm going to call it 5.5. Roberts is a little bit squishy on some.
There you go.
That's five and a half.
A fair way of putting it.
Yeah. All right. So here's where we are, Tom. Looking at the 2020 election, clearly there could be a lot of contested issues with all the mail-in balloting and the potential for fraud and so forth. In Wisconsin, a federal judge there ruling that ballots can come in 6 days after the election and still be counted. In Michigan last week, a court of claims judge in the state of Michigan said 14 days after the election, ballots could be brought in. I expect both of those to be struck down, but we see here a movement afoot to just change all the rules. Change all the rules and accommodate, you know, whenever the ballots come in, we'll just count them. It doesn't make sense, and that's why the federal courts and judges are so important, correct?
That's right, and some of these cases may go up to Supreme Court even before Election Day, which makes having the full court, all the more important. And after Election Day, there's going to be a lot of fighting, potentially, if the race is close. The Biden campaign has essentially promised that they won't concede, and they'll battle on every front. And so you want a full complement on the court in order to deal with these challenges. You know, and, you know, I know the left is complaining that that's, and I don't necessarily blame them for playing the political, the, you know, following their, what's good politics for them. They're not going to say, hey, yeah, Trump and the Senate should appoint a Supreme Court justice who we oppose. So what else would they say other than no? Hold off until after the election.
Yeah.
But they really don't have much leg to stand on. They try to impeach and remove a president during an election year.
I encourage them to do so.
Can appoint a justice.
Yeah, I encourage them to try to impeach the president for the second time this year. I think it'll go well for them at the polls. Please do. Follow that track.
Well, they already did it. They already did it.
You know,
we forget they did it.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but everybody else forgot. I think that Nancy should bring it back to the table. You file all these Freedom of Information Act requests, and I see them on a regular basis. One of them here caught my eye today, though. A fight between Joe Biden and a Secret Service member. Apparently, the records have been disposed of, but you're looking for them. What is that all about?
Yeah, there was a story that he allegedly groped a girlfriend member, a girlfriend of a Secret Service agent at a Christmas party.
Mm.
And the Secret Service agent had to be held back, and it almost came to fisticuffs.
Yeah.
And so we asked for records about it, and I didn't know if the story was true. It was one of these, you know, sources-to-say stories.
Sure.
But then the Secret Service tells us that they had destroyed any records about the incident, which kind of means that the incident took place.
And magically, it was just
for clarification.
Buried.
They didn't want to give it to us, so we sued. But it was an unusual response, and so that's why we're in court about it. I don't know if it happened, but the Secret Service suggests it did.
Let me ask you this. Tom Fitton, president of Judicial Watch, on to bigger, more important things, that being John Durham, the Mueller team erasing and somehow putting back to factory settings, you know, all of their cell phones magically. that they all couldn't figure out their cell phones and deleted them because they couldn't remember their passwords. A new piece, sedition in the Obama Oval Office, all connects to all of these different tentacles, if you will. Where are we in that investigation? Where do you think this ends?
I don't expect many, if any, additional indictments by Durham. I'm not seeing any indications that certainly higher-level people have been seriously criminally investigated. Maybe someone like Peter Strzok, one of the FBI lovebirds who wrote that awful text message or several awful text messages about an insurance policy, how he was going to stop Trump from being president, and he was behind a lot of the investigation, the fraudulent investigation into Trump. They all knew there was nothing there in terms of Russia collusion. Maybe he'll be indicted, but I don't see anything else other than a report coming, and that's going to be disappointing to a lot of people. Especially in light of all the evidence of criminality. I mean, for instance, just look at what happened to General Flynn.
Sure.
Where they all knew he didn't commit any crime, didn't lie, and yet tried to prosecute him and put him in jail anyway.
So you don't expect any other criminal indictment. So that's going to be greatly disappointing. Do you expect to hear that before the election, after the election? Any idea?
Oh, I don't know. We may get a report before the election. You know, maybe there is an indictment. You know, Strzok was asked the other day on CBS News if he was a target, and he refused to answer. It may be too late now to indict anyone for Election Day. Technically, there's no problem with doing so, but the Justice Department may be hesitant to do anything because of the political uproar just before an election.
But the big three that people want to know
about.
Either
way, it's really outrageous that they haven't done anything to date.
Yeah, the big three that people want to know about, Comey, Clapper, Brennan, you see nothing happening there reading the tea leaves.
No,
and really, that's
no, I don't. Lindsey Graham wanted to have him testify in the Senate at the end of the month. He wouldn't have even asked if there was any serious issue about him being indicted.
Well, that is disappointing. All right, so before I let you go here today, Tom Fitton, President of Judicial Watch, always have to ask you this because if I don't, at 2 o'clock this afternoon, I look up and say, Judicial Watch, breaking news, because you're doing it all the time, and I congratulate you on that. What are you working on? What might we see coming out of your press room sometime soon?
Oh, I don't know. We're still very much focused on this election integrity issue, so there may be more there. We're always getting new documents about Strzok and Page and Obamagate. You know, we're not waiting on Durham for a lot of this.
Right.
One thing that might upset some of your listeners is we've asked emails about Dr. Fauci and about China and coronavirus, and they just told us they don't want to turn over anything at the last of the election.
I lost you a little bit there. You faded just a little bit better. But Fauci, they're not going to turn over any documents before the election. All right, Tom, we're going to leave it there. Tom Fitton, President of Judicial Watch, always appreciate everything you do, honestly, because without your Freedom of Information requests, a lot of this stuff would just remain buried. So thank you for the hard work that you do and the things that you do at Judicial Watch.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Really appreciate it. 41 after. It's a Tuesday here on the Steve Gruber Show. You're in the No Panic Zone. We'll be right back.
Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. Work with Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles with Stiles, Miller & Clark Group, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated. And together, you'll develop a customized plan for your retirement. Discover the one-to-one relationship you deserve. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. To say that we are in challenging times is an understatement. Employers and employees are struggling through no fault of their own. But in Michigan, we're tough and we're determined to get through this temporary situation. At the Michigan Chamber, we are working with policymakers at all levels of government to provide the necessary resources for business. We've assembled a coronavirus toolkit at michamber.com. We're providing factual information on unemployment benefits, financial relief resources, and guidance for employers and employees to stay safe. It's clear the business community is leading the way. They're protecting their employees, they're protecting their communities, and they're keeping Michigan economy strong. We'll get through this together. I'm Jim Holcomb from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.